And I would like to read about the first eight verses for a scripture reading this morning. Isaiah chapter 64, beginning with verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. I want to stop reading there after having read those first eight verses of Isaiah 64. The thought that I would like to share with you here today will be, and I want to use this title, and that being man's only hope. I think that there are many people in the world today that are looking for hope in all of the wrong places. There's only one in whom it really lies. And I'll just go ahead in the very beginning here and make this statement that especially if you're here today and you've not yet been saved, that Jesus Christ is your only hope. So when I say man's only hope, that's who I'm talking about. Jesus Christ is the only hope of salvation. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, other than the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, only at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He's not one of the Lords. He is Lord. He is the only true Lord. And he is the only one that has any hope for mankind. I'm afraid that oftentimes people have, well, I suppose that they actually have the view of mankind. And when I say man, that's what I'm talking about, mankind's only hope. I believe that people in general perhaps have the view of mankind that the devil would want them to have. I mean, they have the exact view of what man really is that the devil would want them to have, because I think that the view that we have many times is very deceptive. I think that from things that I hear, things that I'm told, it seems especially in the political realm, that there are many people that believe that our hope lies within what men or some man might be able to do. But I'll tell you what this nation needs. They need Jesus Christ. We need the Lord. This nation needs the Lord Jesus Christ. This nation needs the love of Christ shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so people are looking to, it seems, to all different types of saviors. But again, I want to say that there is only one Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Colossians, and he said that Christ is to have the preeminence in all things. And whenever that we don't honor him in that way, you know, we ought to, here at Fairview Memorial, as a church, we ought to always be certain that we are exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're lifting him up before people, that we are giving to him the preeminence, that we are glorifying him in that way. Those of us who have been saved, in fact, I'm not going to say I believe. I'm convinced that there's nobody on the face of the earth that will be able to understand the things that I want to say today and share with you today from God's Word. There's no people on the earth that could have any better understanding of what I want to talk about than those who have been saved. And the reason I say that is because those who have truly been saved, those who have truly been born again by the Spirit of God, and we know that there are a lot of people in the world today that think everything is okay, but really it's not. It's not. Because if you are trusting upon something or someone other than what the Word of God teaches us, then you're trusting in the wrong thing or in the wrong one. And so those who have truly been born again, we all know this. We can all testify to this, and we all know this in our heart, that without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have what we have. Without him, we wouldn't have the hope that we have. Our hope, as the old treasured hymn says, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I know that it's because of him that I'm going to see heaven one day. I know that it's because of him that I've been born again by the Spirit of God. I know that it is because of him that we have the opportunity, or even that there is a way for people to be saved. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not based upon what we have done. Our salvation is not based upon what we have done. And if you're ever going to be saved, you won't get it by what you do. Jonah, probably in the book of Jonah, we probably find it put as simple as it possibly could be. He simply said, salvation is of the Lord. And it is. Salvation is not of man. I heard again this morning, I turned on the religious channel for a little while, and I heard this man share with an audience of people some things from what is said in the scriptures. And then at the end of his preaching, or whatever you would choose to call it, at the end of his speech, He told people, he said, wherever that you're at, you may be 5,000 miles away, you may not be watching the program, but wherever you're at, just if you will just repeat this prayer after me, then everything will be all right with your soul. And so he said the prayer, and then after he said the prayer, he said, now, wherever that you're at, if you said that, then you're saved. That's deceptive, and that's wrong. And that's where, you know, when I heard that and saw that, I had the same thought about that I have about that every time that I hear it, is where, you know, where do people get this thought that they can play Holy Spirit? You know what the Bible teaches me? That it is the Holy Spirit of God that tells people when they're saved. Nobody else does that. Listen, if you believe, if somebody tells you, some man tells you that you're saved because of something that you have done, you better look a little bit further. You better keep looking. You better keep searching. You better keep seeking, because man does not have the ability to tell somebody whether or not they've been saved. That is the job and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You may have heard this, and I'm afraid that there are many people in the world today that believe this very thing, that the human race is good. That we have within the human race, that we have this goodness, and that because of that, that we're going to be able to overcome, and we're going to be able to do things. But listen, that's not what the Bible teaches us about man. The Bible teaches us that man is depraved. The Bible teaches us that man is sinful. That man has a rebellious spirit against God. I want you to consider what God says this morning about mankind and the state that we are in. If you look in Psalm chapter 53, verses 1 and 2. Now, keep in mind what men may say when they look upon men. And I'm sure that you've heard this statement made. Well, there's a little bit of good in all of us. But that's not what the book says, is it? And that's not what God saw. Here in Psalm 53, in these first couple of verses, it talks about God actually looking down from heaven upon the children of men, and this is what he saw. God looked down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Think about that for just a moment. God looking down upon his creation, looking down from heaven, looking to see if there was any of them that did these things. If there was any of them that understood, if there was any of them that sought after God. And this is what he said. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, these men, and I'm just going to be straightforward today and honest with you about what I believe. These men that are getting up in front of people and they're trying to make them feel good about themselves, and they're trying to make them feel happy in the life that they have, and they're trying to promote all this health, wealth, and prosperity type of religion, they're not telling people the truth. They're not telling people the truth about what man really is, Listen, if you're lost and in your sins today, I have no desire to make you feel good about yourself. Because if you're lost and without God, you are on your way to a devil's hell. You're on your way to everlasting destruction. You're not on your way to something better, regardless of what may happen to you in this life, regardless of whether or not you may become a millionaire, you may become successful in business or successful in your education or whatever that it might be. You are not headed in a good direction. The Bible tells me in John chapter 3 that he that believeth not on the Son of God is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those that are passing through time and going through life from day to day that are lost and in sin, friends, you are not headed in a good direction. You're headed to a eternal place of suffering. And it's the things that we are told in the scriptures about man. And this is one thing that I wanted you to make note of today. You know, you may be frowning on somebody else. You may be looking at somebody else and you may be thinking, well, I'm not doing what that person's doing. I'm not living the way that that person is living. But listen to what the scripture says. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any of them that were seeking after God, if there were any of them that were understanding. And what he saw when he looked down was that every one of them had gone astray. Every one of them had become filthy. The Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sinner friend, today, I'll tell you what you really need to see. It's not the way that man may look at you, or what man may think about you, or how that man may see you. What you need to be concerned with today is what God sees when he looks down upon you. I'm sure that you have heard this statement made. You may have heard it in the movies, or you may have heard somebody say this. And that is concerning the heart of people. And somebody, perhaps they're searching for a decision, trying to make a correct decision about something, and somebody will come along and say, well, listen, if you look deep down in your heart, you'll find the goodness there that you need. You'll find the answer that you need. But let me tell you something. If man, lost humanity, looks down into their heart, you know what they'll find? They'll find something there that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Amen. That's what the scriptures tell us. That's what Jeremiah had to say about it. That the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus said that it's out of the heart that evil comes forth. These things that man does in the body, these evil deeds that man does in the body, those things come from the heart, and man is corrupt inside and out, and has been ever since the fall of man. Man's not good. He's evil. He's evil. Let's go a little bit further. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everybody. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. Let me repeat the verse. Romans 3, 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon who? Upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, he spoke for the entire human race, not just a few. His transgression passed down up on everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and so all needs a Savior. Listen, there are people in the world today that have deceived themselves into believing that they can save themselves, that they can change themselves, if they will reform themselves, if they'll live better, if they'll do this or do that, do some kind of good work for the Lord, that God will weigh those things out. He'll put them in the balance and he'll weigh them out. And that if their good works are more than their bad works and they tip the scale in favor of them, that they'll be okay when they stand before God. Listen, the Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches us that we are corrupt and that there's not one thing that anybody can do to change what they are. You believe that? That's exactly what the Scriptures teach us, that there's not one thing that we can do to change ourselves. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." And we were what, good people? No, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I'll tell you what, friends, listen. The night that God saved my soul, the night that God spoke peace to my soul and made me a child of God, you know who it was that he saved? It was a wretched, miserable, lost sinner that knew that I was on my way to hell. I mean, I felt it stronger than I had ever felt it. I cried out to God that night from the great anguish that was in my soul of knowing that I was lost, of knowing that I was on my way to hell. And I didn't come before God and ask God to smile down upon my goodness and consider the good things that I had done. I got down on my knees before God and I begged him there in that hour to have mercy upon this miserable sinner that knew that he was worthy of death. I knew I was worthy of eternal torment. I'll tell you what, there's never been one person, there has never been one person from the seed of Adam that has died and lost their soul that was treated unjustly. Not one. Thank God there have been those that have found mercy, but that's what we found. There were things when man sinned against God, God's righteous judgment was passed upon him and justice had to be done. Justice had to be done. God had told man he had given him a law and he had told him what he was allowed to do and what he wasn't allowed to do. He had told him of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there in the midst of the garden. You are not allowed to eat of that, because in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And when man transgressed the law of God, justice had to be done. And the only hope for us is that the mercy of Christ answered the demands of justice. And that's the only hope that we have. But you know what else? That's the only hope that we need. That's all that we need. Jesus, speaking to a group of Pharisees, recorded in John chapter 8, verse 44. He told them, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye shall do. Now, we could look at those Pharisees today and we could say, boy, they must have been bad people. But isn't that true for every one of us? I mean, if you've been saved by the grace of God today, weren't you adopted? Yes, you were. Every one of us has been adopted by blood into the family of God. There was a time, just like Paul said, where we walked in times past in the lust of the flesh, and we fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were lost. We were separated from God. We were of our father, the devil, and had the Lord by His grace not been willing to hear our cries and to save us from our sins, we would still be headed in that direction today, because we would have never been able to do anything to change our nature. Can the leopard change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can he? Can a man or an animal just take themselves and change themselves from what they are? Well, I'll tell you what the answer to both of those questions is. No. No. The leopard can't change his spots. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. The sinner can't change his nature, no matter how hard that he tries. Isaiah said here that our righteousness, listen, there are so many in the world today that are dependent upon their own righteousness. Jesus said there will be those in the day of judgment that will stand before me dependent upon their own righteousness. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, then will I say unto them, I will profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Imagine that. Imagine that. People out there being religious, doing things from day to day, and the Lord, when they stand before the Lord and they begin to try to justify themselves by what they have done, that He'll say to them that they're nothing more than workers of iniquity. If we were good, listen to me, lost friend, if we were good, if we could save ourselves, if we could change our own nature, God the Father would not have had to send His Son here to suffer like He did if we could do it ourselves. That wouldn't have been necessary if we could just do good things and earn our way into heaven. His suffering would not have been necessary. He came and He suffered and He died to make a way for man who was so corrupt, had gone so far astray, had such a sinful nature, could come back to God, could be saved, could have eternal life, could have a relationship and fellowship with God. Jesus died so that that could happen. He is your only hope. Your only hope. I want to close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. You know how I got saved? I fled for refuge to the only hope that that there was. I fled sin. By the help of God, I fled sin. I repented of sin. I turned away from sin by the help of God and turned towards Him and cast my eyes upon the one that was my only hope. And then He saved me. How about that, Brother Jackson? That was a good moment, wasn't it? Man, I'll never forget the moment the Lord spoke peace to my soul. Can't explain it to you. I mean, I can't really fully explain it to you today, but my goodness, was it ever real? People can say what they want to say. They make fun of me all they want to. I know what I got. I know what I got. And I know that it's real. And I know that it's from God. And I know that it's sufficient. And I know that it's going to take me to heaven. And I know that my soul has nothing to fear. I know what the Lord gave me. I'll just be blunt, all right? I'll just be blunt and honest about it. I have no interest whatsoever in the type of salvation that some man stands up and tells me I've got. No interest. When I stand before God, I don't want to stand before God one of these days and say, well, you know, Dr. So-and-so or Preacher So-and-so over there, he told me that everything was all right with my soul. He told me to say this prayer, and so I said it. And when I said it, he told me that everything was all right. When I stand before God, I don't want to depend upon anything but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and that time when I will be able to profess of that time that God, your Holy Spirit, bore witness with my own spirit and let me know that I was saved. I wouldn't want to stand before God with anything short of that. You might be able to tell, and I don't hate anybody. I can say that with an honest heart. I don't hate anybody, but I hate the things that people are being told. I despise the things that people are being told about their souls. I want you to know something today, lost friend. You don't have any hope in anybody but Jesus Christ. You don't have any hope in me. You don't have any hope in the other preachers here. You don't have any hope in the deacons of this church. You need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You need to seek the Lord until He speaks to your soul and until He tells you you're saved. And God help the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to always preach that to people. I can't look at your heart. I don't know what makes other people think they can. The Bible tells me very plainly that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You're depraved. You're sinful. You're in need of a Savior. If you're lost, you stand right at this very moment condemned before a holy and a just God. Not just waiting to be condemned, but condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the only way you're going to escape what that condemnation will one day bring is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to beg Him and to seek Him for His mercy and His grace. That's it. That is your only hope and your only opportunity. Let's stand and sing. I appreciate your attention. Friends, listen. A lost soul is a serious, serious matter. There's nothing more important than your soul.
$191 at the top. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting on to rid my soul of one dark blood,
to thee
whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God.